pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Doing great, Vito. Good to be here as always. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. Mamma mia. Hey, I want to say hello to Bigfoot, our big patriot. He just come into the chat room, and you can go to Bigfoot's great blog. It's www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Absolutely fantastic blog. 7 days a week. Gives great history lessons along the way when he travels. So nice to see you, Big. James, how you doing, Duck Northwest? Good to see you. Always a pleasure. Gulf Dogs, HOV Radio. Nice to see you, dogs. And Sue's in the house. Sue from New Mexico. So thank you very much all for joining us. Thank you all in podcast land for joining us. We really appreciate your support out there. Sue, Nami, and Judy, and Publius, and Red Dog, and Audrey Russo, Southern Sense Talk Radio, all you guys out there, thank you so much. Tom, they call me Tom, and he's with 01, not 01, and that was my bad today. I apologize about that. But good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us. It is Thanksgiving week. Apologize for your kids being out of school this week and probably driving you nuts already. but it is Thanksgiving is upon us. How you been, Al?
Hey, doing fantastic.
Good.
Great weekend. Good. Played a little golf. And now getting ready for the holidays. It's going to be very nice.
Yeah, that's great. It's, you know, speaking of golf, this past weekend, we always like to start out with PGA news. And I think the PGA and LPGA is special this weekend. The RSM Classic was in St. Simon Island for the PGA male players. It was in Georgia. And, folks, if you are into golf, if you're starting to watch golf, there is a Swedish sensation. His name is Ludvig Åberg. And in English terms, it's spelled A-B-E-R-G. Åberg is the way we Americans like to pronounce it, but it's called he's pronounced Åberg. He surged to the top of the leaderboard in round three after shooting an impressive 9-under-61. And props are given to Mackenzie Hughes of Canada, who shot a 10-under-60 on Saturday to also kind of vault up the leaderboard. But Åberg, he had the lead going into Sunday. And what did the rookie phenom do? He backed up his 9-under-61 from Saturday, and he shot a 9-under-61 on Sunday to win his first PGA Tour event by four shots. This young man has been heralded, and by some, including Hodler, as the next Tiger Woods. He was on the winning European Ryder Cup team. He was outstanding in college. He is 6'3". He is, I think, 32. He's 22 years old. He's got just an absolute keen sense of maturity. It is unbelievable to watch this young man play golf. I'll tell you, if you're into golf and if you want to see a new rookie sensation, this young man, Ludvig Åberg, is really going to, I think he's going to knock the socks off of the PGA. He is that good. There are some great players on tour, but nobody since Tiger Woods. We haven't really seen another Tiger Woods, but it's about that time frame, two decades, you know, that another superstar emerges, and this could be the man. And I really hate to label, you know, the young guys because they're unproven, But watching this young man perform over the last year and how he did in the Ryder Cup is just incredible. So did you watch any of it?
Unfortunately, I did not. I caught some of the highlights and on the last day. And, yeah, he's a good-looking kid. He's got some talent. We'll see what happens. Wish him nothing but luck. It's good to see a new name on top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, I think we might be seeing this young man a lot. And it's just amazing the way he kind of took over the tournament. And then in LPGA news, for you nostalgia buffs out there, the ladies were playing their final regular season tournament at Tiburon Golf Course in Naples, Florida. The weather was beautiful down there, a little bit of a wind. American Allison Lee, she rose to the top of the leaderboard in first place after Friday's round, and she was playing really good. But the seasoned veteran by the name of Amy Yang, 34 years old, she's been playing great golf of late as well, and she started to hover up around the top of the leaderboard. And the 34-year-old Yang, she's got four victories, or she had four victories going into this past weekend's last event of the 2023 season for the ladies. In round three, Allison Lee could only muster a 4-under-68. Amy Yang went on a roll and shot an 8-under-64 to take a lead. And then backed up her 8-under round on Saturday, with Sunday shooting a 6-under-66 for a four-day total of 261, giving her a three-shot lead over second place Allison Lee and Nasa Hataoka of Japan. The end result is Amy Yang wins her fifth LPGA Tour victory. More important, she ends a winless drought. She had some injuries that kind of sidelined her, but the 34-year-old is back on top of the leaderboard, wins the final LPGA Tour event for 2023, and she might be back. And so congratulations, Amy Yang, and she stole yet another victory, possibly another victory from Allison Lee, who has yet to win her first LPGA Tour event. So really, really kind of it was exciting.
Yeah, well, she's a talent. She's got five wins under her belt, so kudos to her. That was an exciting match.
Yeah, really, it was. And you know what? I'm sorry. Thanks for Holger just kind of gave me an interesting schooling on Ludvig Åberg. He's been playing professional golf for the last 6 months since May. He's won a DP World Tournament, which is the European Tour equivalent, and he won his first PGA Tour event. So he's got two wins in 6 months out on the professional tour. So I didn't mean to take that away from Amy Yang, but I thought it was exciting that Amy Yang did, in fact, end a winless drought and thought she'd never play again. And here she is, the ladies up there and right up on top, right in front. So it was awesome, absolutely awesome.
Yeah, I've been playing for two decades and never got invited, so kudos to Mr. Åberg.
So, in a little bit of sad news, especially if you're a Democrat, former First Lady Rosalynn Carter passed away at the ripe old age of 96 yesterday, November 19, 2023. Rosalynn Carter is the wife of former President Jimmy Carter, and the Carters were known for their humanitarian aid, and Rosalynn Carter was known for her advocacy for mental health issues. On a positive note, for Rosalynn Carter, she died knowing that her husband, Jimmy Carter, was no longer the worst president in U.S. history. That title now is bestowed upon the frail old fraud, Joe Biden. Rosalynn Carter entered hospice care this past Friday at their home, and she passed 2 days later. She devoted herself to several social causes in the course of her public life, including programs that supported healthcare resources, human rights, social justice, and the needs of elderly people. 25 years ago, we did not dream that people might someday be able to actually recover from mental illness. Carter said at a mental health symposium in 2003. Today is a very real possibility. For one who has worked on mental health issues as long as I have, she added, this is a miraculous development and an answer to my prayers. The Carters were married July 7th. Go ahead. Say that.
Was oh, that? No, go on.
Carters were married July 7th, 1946, 77 years ago, and they were the longest married president and vice president in U.S. history. So, rest in peace.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
Except for, did Jimmy Carter, did he recover from his mental illness because he hated Israel and he never met a dictator he didn't like?
No,
I don't think he recovered.
I don't think he did either. I think you're right.
He was a horrible governor in Georgia. I used to live there, I know. He was horrible then and not a good president. But he was an honest man. I may not have liked his politics. I didn't like his form. I didn't like anything that he did. But he was honest, and he did – He was a liberal Democrat, and he behaved as a liberal Democrat would, and that's to be expected. But there were no scandals. I think the most scandalous thing he said is that he lusted in his heart for other women, or one woman, and that made the news for a month because that was the worst thing that he ever said or did, and he didn't even do anything. But going back to sports, there's one story is that the TGL, the Tiger Woods Indoor Golf League, postponed for another year. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't even hear about the Tiger Woods Indoor Golf League.
Yeah, yep. In the stadium that they're going to do it in, they had roof problems, and they had to postpone it for another year because that was the venue for their indoor golf league. Which, by the way, does have PGA check marks all over it. So PGA is good with it.
So the indoor golf league, I guess if people hit golf balls into the ceiling, into the walls, it would cause damage. So that'd be interesting.
I have no clue how you can turn a 100-yard field into a golf league.
I don't know.
Do you get it? I don't get it.
I didn't hear about that, so I'll have to look into that. Tiger Woods Indoor Golf League. Thanks for letting me know.
It's called TGL.
TGL. All right.
And Jordan Travis, quarterback for Florida State, had a career, almost a career-ending ankle injury. Last week, very sad. He's going to be out for the rest of the season. Florida State was ranked number 4, undefeated, which is pretty spectacular. The second string quarterback did come in. Florida State did rally to win by a large margin. So next week is going to be very interesting for Florida State. They're like college football. That is one of the teams to watch.
Yeah, so so all of you guys and gals out there, it's pretty much rivalry weekend during Thanksgiving holiday. It'll be Florida State versus Florida, the University of Florida. They'll be in at the Swamp in Gainesville. I believe Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, that's usually a rivalry, but Auburn's not been playing very well, so Alabama – You would think Alabama should win that, but Auburn somehow just gets up for that game every year. And then I think you have Ohio State and Michigan, and both of those teams are undefeated. That is going to be a great game. So all you Big Ten people out there, and then congratulations to Hank Jones at Hank Jones Poly Sports. His Iowa Hawkeyes won the Western Division of the Big Ten, so they'll be playing in the Big Ten Championship. They'll play the winner of the Ohio State-Michigan game, which one of those teams will come out undefeated. So it'll be a big task, a tough task for Iowa to take on. So you can listen to Hank Jones this Wednesday. He'll be talking a little bit more about college football and the Iowa Hawkeyes. So,
yep, very excited, Hank. So good for Hank.
Yeah.
He needed a little pick-me-up. He said Iowa was struggling at the beginning of the season, and now they came through for him. So congratulations to Iowa for
all
you people who follow Iowa football.
They play Nebraska this weekend. All four of you.
Yep. I used to love Nebraska.
I know. Right?
That
could
be a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be.
I think that'll be one I'm going to watch. So.
Yeah, I'm going to watch Ohio State and Michigan. That's going to be a good game too. I don't know.
Yeah, that'll be the game of the weekend.
Yeah, I'm not sure they can pull it out, but that'll be cool if they do. Bumbling Biden turned 81 today. The furlough fraud is eating his ice cream and other soft foods. Nothing on his docket. Of course, they can't afford to have him.
I got to say one thing. All this, everything about Biden's at 81 is not that old.
Uh-uh.
I mean, my father-in-law just turned 101,
oh,
and he's more mobile than and he's more mobile than Joe Biden, and funnier. But you know, you can't compare two men. But you take Donald Trump, who is what, 78, 79, 80, somewhere in there, about
he's
the same.
70,
his 76. Energy level is, 76. Yeah, his energy level is off the charts compared to Biden. I don't think people should make, it's not about his age, it's about his mental infirmity and bad character. That's what makes Joe Biden Joe Biden. It's not 81. I think they use that as a deflection and to get people off of his main character flaws, which is the truth. I mean, telling the truth, small children, and a lack of coherent brain power, cognitive failure. Walking cognitive failure. And I think that's what people need to focus on.
Oh, I'll agree with you there. There's been a bunch of distractions concerning Joe Biden. And, you know, one distraction, of course, is that in the last 1,035 days, Joe Biden, the Biden-Harris-Obama regime has been an utter disaster. They have really turned America into chaos. And it's been all by design, as iGuy says. And, you know, Joe Biden, his cognitive abilities has declined, and it's declining rapidly, so much so that we know we were hoodwinked in 2020 because Biden is not transparent. And as a matter of fact, Representative James Comer did say that Biden's claim of transparency is hot air. And, you know, it's nice that somebody finally said it in Washington, D.C. I would have called it a little bit more of a harsh term, like a lie. It's nothing but a fraud. But, you know, Biden is Biden, right? That's what we've heard all these years. But he is he's a chronic liar. The man has embellished his entire life. He's a philanderer. I mean, hell, he was banging Jill Stevenson, who is now Jill Biden, while he was married and had three kids. So you have to wonder, did his first wife at the time find out about it and then try to commit suicide when that truck apparently T-boned the vehicle, killing their daughter? But nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody talks about in 1988 when Joe Biden was running for president of the United States, he was caught in a lie. He had plagiarized Neil Kinnock, a U.K. Politician. He plagiarized his speech. He was summarily rejected by his own party. And then suddenly, miraculously, he materializes in the 2020 race. So much so after Joe Biden had diarrhea of the mouth as a former vice president, and he exposed both himself and Barack Hussein Sator Obama with a quid pro quo in Ukraine. Then we find out that Joe Biden has deep financial ties to the corrupt government of Ukraine, Ukrainian energy, the communist Chinese. There's two other countries they're involved in, and it's just one corruption after another with a man who has served his entire adult life in the United States government, including the United States Senate and as vice president, and he's a liar. He's a fraud. He's a cheat. And he actually, I believe he's an anti-constitutionalist who is working hard to dismantle the Bill of Rights. And he's done so with the First Amendment. He's done so with the Second Amendment. He's done so with the Sixth Amendment, especially those that are still incarcerated as a result of January 6th. So while we talk about, you know, the bubbling Biden's birthday today, he's nothing but a liar and a fraud. And, you know, it's something that the American people have to face. And just because President Trump sent out mean tweets doesn't mean President Trump was not right. And it's only me because of how orchestrated the feigned outrage is or was with the Washington, D.C. syndicate. And I'm going to tell you, there's a tweet by one of the Twitter followers, the Nasty Italian, and she tweeted out, "I would rather hear the truth in a mean and politically incorrect tweet from President Trump than be lied to in a pleasant, politely correct tweet from an establishment-owned politician." And there is no doubt in my mind to this day that Joe Biden is an establishment-owned politician. He's nothing but a front man for the Washington, D.C. syndicate. Why? Because he's doing what he's told to do. He's a hollow man, as Big Sarge had stated. He's a hollow man. He's an empty suit who has no soul. And he was put in place, installed for one reason and one reason only, and that was to dismantle everything President Donald J. Trump did for 4 years that worked, including border security. We have nothing but border insecurity today. We have an invasion in the United States, an invasion that violates Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution, which tells you outright that Joe Biden is nothing but an anti-constitutionalist. But he could care less about the Constitution that he swore to uphold over the last 50-plus years in the United States government. How many times did that man take the oath of office, okay, to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution, including as Vice President of the United States and after being installed as President of the United States? Article 4, Section 4 states very clearly in the United States Constitution, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. Against invasion. Not only has the United States Congress failed to uphold the U.S. Constitution, but the executive branch of government, led by Joe Biden, and unfortunately we have to say led by Joe Biden because he does have the monogram of President of the United States, okay? He has not defended this country from invasion. He's been negligent since January 20, 2021, and he put a perfect chimpanzee as Secretary of Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, who should have been impeached by the United States House. 8 cowardly Republicans, including Daryl Issa, another windbag establishment politician, who stated he can't wait to grill Alejandro Mayorkas in front of an impeachment inquiry by the United States House. And when Daryl Issa had the chance to vote for the impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas, he voted no. You want to tell us there's not a uniparty in Washington, D.C.? You want to tell us about establishment-owned politicians? We know that Joe Biden is an establishment-owned politician who could give a crap about the United States Constitution, who could give a crap about the United States people, because it's one lie after another with these establishment cabal players, this Washington, D.C. syndicate. Transparency? There is no transparency with Joe Biden, with Kamala Harris, with Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama. That is nothing but an empty cliche. It's a meaningless soundbite. by an establishment-owned politician who's trying to disarm you and me. There is no transparency. There hasn't been. You can go right back to Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and the Biden regime, okay, with regards to Benghazi. You want to talk about the lack of transparency? You know what? Look at September 11th, 2012, after our compound in Benghazi was breached. And yes, I'm bringing up old news because you have to understand how the Obama-Biden regime rolled up the media, the White House press corps, just rolled up their White House press briefings and shelved it for over 27 days so that they could further a false narrative. And they claim to be transparent. They're nothing but liars and frauds. And what happened in Benghazi is a clear example of how a rogue government can conduct their business. And they got a sitting ambassador killed. And then they lied. Barack Hussein Satoru Obama lied. He lied to the American people, and he lied before the United Nations. Hillary Rotten Clinton lied, and then she was smug. The establishment Washington, D.C. syndicate was smug. What difference does it make? There was a bunch. If it was a bunch of guys out for an evening walk, what difference does it make? There were four dead Americans, including two Navy SEALs, including a CIA agent, and including Christopher Stevens, a U.S. ambassador. What difference does it make that there was al-Shabaab, an Islamic terrorist organization that was amassed outside the Benghazi compound carrying rocket launchers, AK-47s, and according to a pantsuit princess, Hillary Rotten Clinton, it was a bunch of guys out for an evening walk? This is transparency? And now we fast forward to 2023, and all we hear about from the propaganda princess at the White House briefings, that Jean-Pierre, about transparency. It's horseshit. It's a lie. It is a lie. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Barack Hussein Satoru Obama are not transparent. They are frauds. And what do they do when things start getting hot in Washington, D.C.? They put Joe Biden into hiding so he doesn't have to address the American people. He can't get peppered with questions because, one, he doesn't have the mental ability to do so. Now, you ask yourself, I don't care who you are or what political affiliation you've had. When President Trump would leave the White House to walk across the White House lawn to Marine One helicopter, he would stop and answer questions every single day, and not for 2 minutes, not for five, in the middle of the summer, 30, 40 minutes. Joe Biden has yet to answer any questions. Why? Because the U.S. DNC media has made sure that they shield this frail old fraud. There is nothing transparent about Joe Biden. The nasty Italian nailed it. She nailed it in her tweet today. I would rather hear the truth in a mean and politically incorrect tweet from President Trump than be lied to in a pleasantly politically correct tweet from an establishment-owned politician. And that's why Joe Biden was partially installed, so that his handlers would send out tweets that made everything rosy. You know, what a great economy. We created new jobs. In the meantime, we're paying the highest gas prices ever. In the meantime, the frail old fraud and his destructive regime, his handlers, are emptying the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to the tune of over half of the reserve now has been depleted as a result of them artificially trying to lower gas prices in the United States. Instead of putting America back on energy independence, they made America dependent. And now they've compromised our national security. They've compromised it at our borders, both the northern and southern borders, and now they're draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm sorry I don't mean to be negative. But I'm tired of listening to the DNC-sponsored media lie to the American people. Joe Biden is not transparent. Joe Biden is not an honest man. Kamala Harris is an idiot. And Barack Hussein Totoro Obama is pulling the strings behind these two puppets. Joe Biden is unfit to be president of the United States, but he's the perfect chimpanzee for those that are pulling his strings, and that would be the Obama alumni who surround Joe Biden, because Joe Biden is not smart enough, nor well enough, nor competent enough to perform the job as president of the United States, because if he had any competency at all, he would be in front holding White House press briefings himself. He would be addressing the media as Donald Trump did. Donald Trump got zero respect from the USDNC media. Why? Because they were instructed by Nancy Pelosi. That's why. There was a coordinated effort to destroy President Trump, and that coordinated effort still is occurring today. Remember, it was Jerry Nadler who wrote the six-page manifesto, How We Resist Trump and His Extreme Agenda, in November of 2016. Never give Trump the benefit of the doubt. And we saw that occur. We saw how the nasty Pelosi-controlled House would never give Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt. Imagine to find out that a former president, Barack Hussein Totoro Obama, and his vice president had did a quid pro quo with Ukraine, withholding a $1 billion loan guarantee. And it was admitted by Joe Biden, former vice president, was an undeclared candidate for the president of the United States in 2020, an undeclared candidate. And Nancy Pelosi then immediately, when President Trump called Zelensky to find out what happened with Poroshenko and Joe Biden and Barack Obama, she immediately went after him under impeachment for going after a political opponent. You know what? Why didn't she go after Donald Trump's political opponents, Barack Hussein, Totoro Obama, Hillary Rodham Clinton, and Joe Biden, who all manufactured a phony Russian dossier, a Russian collusion dossier by Christopher Steele? You don't think this system is rigged? And all they're trying to do, the Washington, D.C. establishment, the Washington, D.C. syndicate, is destroy Donald Trump. Why? Because they don't want we the people to have any type of power. They want to control that power in Washington, D.C. Why else do you think they refer to America as a democracy? Huh? Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution says that the United States shall guarantee to every state in the union a republican form of government. It doesn't say democracy. We are a representative republic, or at least we should be. And what we're witnessing today should never, ever have happened unless we have a corrupt government, if we have a corrupt bureaucracy. And boy, do we have a corrupt bureaucracy. So much so that even our allies can't trust the United States of America. And we got bozos like Biden who supposedly are running things. They are not. He is not running things. He has the Obama alumni around him that are running things. And they're running it in a Marxist totalitarian way. They're abridging all Bill of Rights. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. If you and me were to petition this government for a redress of grievances, they would have us arrested. They would call us extremists. If we peaceably assemble in Washington, D.C. to redress our government for grievances, they would arrest us. And they have. And what about this regime, the Obama-Biden Harris regime, huh? Starting a Ministry of Truth under the Department of Homeland Security to monitor speech in America? Unilaterally doing it, bypassing the United States Congress? That is unconstitutional. That is unconstitutional. And then suppressing the media in this country, the media that's not bought out by the Democrat National Committee. the DNC, the Democrat National Committee, not the Democratic National Committee, because there is nothing democratic about the Democrat Party in America. Nothing democratic about it. They would rather silence us and put their own Marxist agenda in place in order to pad their own and cushion their own bank accounts in order to keep the people indentured to the federal government. And we get more lies about gas prices. We get more lies about utilities. We get more lies about groceries. We get more lies about COVID. We get more lies, and more lies. And then when you challenge it, you're silenced. You have an FBI that is seeking to silence you on social media platforms like Twitter, like Facebook, like Instagram. And then you have the control narrative under TikTok programming our youth today to believe that Israel is bad. Excuse me, who started the war with Israel? Who broke down the barriers and killed 1,400 people on October 7th? That wasn't the first time that Hamas had engaged, the Palestinians had engaged in killing Israelis. But at that magnitude, it was Hamas. Hamas. Is Hamas Palestine? Are the Palestinians Hamas? The answer is yes. And we have a government that is allowing misinformation in order to attack Israel. We have members of the United States Congress, Muslim members of the United States Congress, who are supporting a foreign terrorist organization called Hamas. Hamas was declared a foreign terrorist organization on October 8th in 1997, as was Hezbollah. They are a terrorist organization, and we have at least 4 to 5 sitting members of the United States Congress, including Rashida Motherefer Tlaib, including incestuous Ilhan Omar, including Cori Bush, including Jamal Bowman, including Andre Carson, who are supportive of a foreign terrorist organization. Why haven't they been removed from the United States House of Representatives? Why haven't they been stripped of any committee assignments? Where is the extreme Hakeem? The extreme Hakeem Jeffries, where is the minority leader of the United States House calling out his members of Congress unless he agrees with supporting a foreign terrorist organization as his current members of the United States House? And when the House gets together to vote on censoring members of Congress for their radical belief system and their extremism for supporting a foreign terrorist organization, the Uniparty gets together to defend, including the Jewish member of the United States House of Representatives, Dingell. Now, we believe in free speech, without a doubt. But when you have a member of the United States Congress who has certain or enjoys certain security clearances, and the United States government has declared an organization like Hamas a terrorist organization, and she, Rashida Motherefer Tlaib, is a Palestinian descent, how is it that she is not censured? How does the Uniparty allow this to happen? Corruption? The belief system? At what point do we hold our members of Congress accountable for something, just for anything? Oh, wait a minute. That's right, Vito. I forgot. If you're a Republican, you're held to a higher standard. If you're a destructive Democrat who supports a foreign terrorist organization like Hamas, you're given a pass. Obviously, you're either dumb or just plain retarded. And we've heard the same thing over and over from these liars in Congress, like Ilhan Omar, like Alexandria Cortez, like Corey Bush, like Ayanna Pressley. It's the same anti-American, anti-Israel sentiment and supporting terrorist organizations like Hamas. Enough is enough. And, you know, we should call on the extreme Hakeem Jeffries to censure his own members of his party. But he won't do it. Why? Because he's a party man. He's part of that establishment that the nasty Italian talked about. The establishment-owned politician. The extreme Hakeem Jeffries is one of those establishment-owned politicians. Nancy Pelosi is the establishment-owned politician. Incestuous Ilhan Omar, who hates the United States of America, is an establishment-owned politician. Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib, who despises Israel and despises the United States of America, is an establishment-owned politician. These people aren't concerned about America's constitutional republic nor representative form of government. They want a democracy where they can control we the people. Yes, we are facing one of the biggest elections in our lifetime, without a doubt. And we're witnessing the miscarriage of justice in order to stop a political opponent, Donald J. Trump. And the effort is led not just by the Democrat Party, but by the Uniparty. And today, more and more has come out now with releasing the J6 tapes from January 6th. And we're learning more and more about the lies and misinformation from the J6 committee that was put together by the Speaker of the House at that time, Nancy Pelosi. She is one corrupt individual. And we're going to see the truth come out. We are going to see the truth come out at some point in time, how that was a rigged event. That event was meant to stop the Electoral College from casting their votes, and it was meant to stop the Electoral College from contesting the 2020 election, because the fraud that ensued in five states, including Arizona, which was on the docket for the electorates to cast their votes and possibly object to the votes casted in the state of Arizona. But we'll never know, because Nancy Pelosi had the Capitol Police start waving the protesters in attendance January 6th. And son of a gun, imagine somebody got shot. The Capitol Police actually shot an unarmed individual, which allowed Nancy Pelosi and the corrupt establishment-owned politicians to refer to January 6th as an insurrection, which is an absolute lie. You want to talk about your freedoms being abridged by our government? Well, these J6 tapes that are going to come out, let's hope that Speaker Mike Johnson does, in fact, release these January 6th tapes. You were there, Al. You were at, I mean, you weren't at the Capitol, but you were at in Washington, D.C. You saw the people that were supposedly Trump supporters who were exiting buses who looked like Antifa types.
Yeah, there were a lot of Antifa and type running around. It was very suspicious. I followed a couple of them, and then they scurried off. But their whole narrative is starting to fall apart. Some of those tapes have come out. I believe the speaker has put out 40 hours of the 44,000 hours of tape. And in it that I saw, and you probably saw the same one, is a handcuffed law enforcement officer being brought in. The Capitol Police are unlocking his handcuffs. And then he high-fives the person next to him, and he ends up being a cop. And then another another officer has his badge in his hand, and it's caught on tape with him walking through to get past the police. And these
and
people were in the crowd. Yeah.
What about Ray Epps, huh? You know what? If things were so bad, that, and you have 60-year-old grandmothers being arrested in their home who were either just walking through the Capitol or outside the Capitol itself, and they're arresting these people, and Ray Epps, nothing happens to Ray Epps?
Well, he got put off the list. He's protected somehow. He's a protected individual.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
But hopefully with the tapes, what he did was incitement to violence, because he was inciting people. It wasn't just a matter of going up and being a part of the crowd. He was inciting the crowd way off of the Capitol property. So, and they arrest somebody for touching a Trump sign or just being there, not necessarily doing anything. And these people are spending years in jail. It's criminal. Habeas corpus thrown out the window. So much for a speedy trial, which is every person's constitutional right. And there's been no charges of insurrection filed because it wasn't an insurrection. And if it was an insurrection, it was the world's worst insurrection because nobody had a gun except for the one officer that shot Ashley Babbitt in cold blood.
Yep. Yep. Just all by design. You know, the more I think about this, the more you read, the more you watch, you have to wonder, was the reason why Ashley Babbitt was shot by a Capitol Police officer was enough to then define January 6th as an insurrection because the use of force was used and it didn't need to be used. She was unarmed. And how is it that the Capitol Police shoot one person and yet they're escorting people around and they're asking them to be peaceful and to destroy the people's house? And guess what? They complied. Yet they shoot Ashley Babbitt? And it doesn't matter what name you put in there at this point. The fact is that I think it was orchestrated from the start that if it did get to a point where the protesters made their way deep inside the House of Representatives, you kill at least one person, and that gave the right for people like the frauds Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to label this an insurrection, label January 6th an insurrection. I know, I understand about the conspiracy side of it. I understand. But things don't add up. And people's Sixth Amendment rights have been abridged, and no one's saying a freaking thing. Okay? Not even members of the United States government, okay, inside of Congress. They're not saying a damn thing. First of all...
Or the Supreme Court.
Well, yeah, exactly. And you know what? If we had members of the United States Congress who believed in we the people, who believed in this thing called the United States Constitution, they, as a group, would walk down to wherever these people are being held. They'd open up, they'd demand that the prisons be opened up and every one of them would be let out. Because we're not talking about a fair and speedy trial. We're talking about their Sixth Amendment being abridged. And everybody that's been charged, not one person has been charged with insurrection. They've been charged with trespassing. And I can't believe that a trespasser has been incarcerated for over 1,035 days without a trial, without their day in court.
And then you have Speaker McCarthy holding onto the tapes after promising that he was going to release them. And he's sitting there holding on to them, and now we get a new Speaker of the House, and they're coming out. Now, hopefully they'll continue. That's
right.
To be seen. But for right now, a few of them have dripped out. So that puts McCarthy, when you're talking about a uniparty system, McCarthy is the uniparty.
Yes, he is. Yes,
kudos
he is.
Kudos to Matt Gaetz for exposing him for the fraud that he is. And because Matt Gaetz took a lot of public hits over the last year and two. They went after him with fake charges of sexual misconduct, rape, drug use, everything. They threw the kitchen sink at him, and nothing stuck because nothing was true. So,
well, you know, things are also looking up around the world, I think, slowly. But the people of Argentina, did you hear about this? The people of Argentina elected Javier Milei, president-elect, who promises, according to Breitbart, spiritual Israel trip will move embassy to Jerusalem. Argentine libertarian president-elect Javier Milei confirmed on Monday that he would make visits to both Israel and the United States before his inauguration on December 10th. Trips he described as spiritual and intended to meet with rabbis who he had consulted during his election. Milei won the presidency in a landslide on Sunday night, defeating the current Minister of Economics, Sergio Massa, a socialist. Massa's tenure has been defined by inflation of upwards of 140%, skyrocketing poverty and joblessness levels, and the worst economic crisis in the nation's history. Milei, a self-described libertarian, has promised to install the U.S. dollar as an official currency, dramatically cut government spending through the elimination of privatization of agencies and elimination of the Argentine Central Bank. On foreign policies, Milei promised to abandon the pro-Iran, pro-China policies of incumbent President Alberto Fernandez and the long line of socialist Peronists who preceded him, and has repeatedly stated that Argentina's top allies under his administration will be Israel and the United States. Milei reportedly has been studying the Torah and considered converted to Judaism from Catholicism in 2021 and has maintained regular studies with multiple rabbis. So now you have unrest and rejection of socialists in Spain, and then to back it up, Tina has fired their social Marxist, and they have elected in a landslide a self-proclaimed libertarian. And I did see something yesterday on TV where they were talking to President-elect Milei, and he had a list of all the government agencies on a board, and he started to nick, like, the let's say the Department of Diversity, Inclusion, and Equity. Boom, something of that equivalence gone. We're not going to spend Argentine's money on something that ridiculous. And he kept going down. Boom, down the line. Boom, get rid of that. Boom, get rid of that. Last July, he visited Rebbe's Ohel in Queens, New York. In a TV interview about the visit, Milei explained how the Rebbe's Fabergenus on Shabbos were memorized by a team of rabbis who would describe it to Shabbos. He said he had the merit of being one of them. He also often used Jewish iconography and symbolism in his public events. So obviously, the people of Argentina absolutely are enjoying a fresh face. They want to get rid of the social Marxism that has infected their government under Fernandez and his predecessors. And now the people of Argentina have elected a new vision for their future. Making Argentina great again. MAGA. Wouldn't that be something? So.
Well, I hope he's successful. But it is a ray of sunshine and a sea of darkness.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you look across the globe at candidates and presidents-elect such as Malay. You know, I think about Giorgia Meloni in Italy. She's a fiery Italian, but, you know, the establishment tends to neuter these people. And if they can keep their wits about them, if they can keep their passion, they can be Trump-like. And now what we're learning is in the United States of America, you know, you have this establishment, the establishment-owned politicians who are making it very difficult for President Trump, and they're concocting all kinds of charges and manufacturing false charges in order to derail his presidency. And I'll tell you, Al, I don't understand how this isn't going after political opponents. I don't understand how a sitting Department of Justice under the Biden-Harrison regime is not charged with going after their political opponents. And President Trump is a declared candidate for the presidency of the United States. Nancy Pelosi impeached President Trump for allegedly going after Joe Biden with regards to Ukraine, and Biden wasn't even a declared candidate for President of the United States. And I'm sure that's where the establishment got together and saw that, and they decided that that's how Joe Biden would be installed, and suddenly he was a candidate for president for the Democrat Party. So Malay has a tough task against him, you know, but let's see how strong and how fervent he can be. And if the Marxists in Argentina neuter this guy, as they did with Bolsonaro in Brazil, as they did basically did with Silvio, what was his name?
Berlusconi?
No, the other guy after him, he's been kind of quiet. And then of course, Meloni got elected in Italy. And she's a firebrand, man. She's a fireplug. Let's hope that she doesn't lose that passion. But you think that the EU probably neutered her. So, but the Spaniards are rising up as well in Spain. So,
well, people like freedom and liberty. Marxism is not the way, or socialism or communism, and people will stand up or they're going to get crushed. And this could be the beginning of a trend, at least in the southern continent. So let's pray that Malay does what he does. His moniker is he carries a chainsaw for the cuts that he's planning on doing, but he's put the chainsaw away to enhance his moderate his moderate persona. So we will see. But either way, more excitement and more good news.
Yeah, and you know, there's one thing, being pro-Israel, I have to say this with regards to Argentina. You know, the tri-border, we've talked about this with regards to the tri-border region in South America. And the tri-border region in South America are three countries. It's Argentina, Brazil, and Paraguay. Now, the significance about those three countries, they meet at certain point. They connect, and it's called the tri-border region. And that's where the terrorist regime of Iran sponsors Islamic training camps, terror training camps. And it's also where the Islamic terror training camps recruits Islamic terrorists, trains them along with the drug cartels now. And let's see if President Malay, who is a proponent of Israel, finds a way to disrupt the tri-border region called the Triple Frontier, and aggressively looks to exterminate the tri-border region Islamic terrorist camps. I believe that that particular area is also when the Islamic terrorists are sent to that region to train. Thank you to the funding that's provided by Iran. The Islamic terrorists, also have access. They make their way up into the United States of America. And that region, from what we understand, is it's not patrolled by any type of military from Brazil, Argentina, and Paraguay. And, of course, the new president of Brazil is a Marxist, a communist, Lula. And Milei would not get President-elect Milei would not get any help, certainly, from a Marxist in Brazil. So he'd have to fight any type of Islamic terrorism from his own borders. And it will be interesting to see if, in fact, he can work with the country of Paraguay to squash any type of Islamic terrorist training camps that Hezbollah enjoys as a result of funding by the terrorist regime of Iran. And it's called the Tri-Border Area in Latin America. So if you want to read a little bit more about that, folks, check it out. It's a real thing. It's something that we first reported on in 2009. And now we're in 2023, and 14 years later, the tri-border region still exists. And thank you to Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and thank you to the Biden-Harris-Obama regime. They've restarted funding the terrorist regime of Iran, and they've not imposed any sanctions that were supposed to be imposed under the Iran deal, which allowed the communist Chinese to purchase over 1 million barrels of oil a day from Iran, which helped restart their economy and restart funding the terrorist regimes of Hezbollah, of Hamas, of the Houthis in Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
And now Israel...
Well, also coming in.
Go ahead.
I was going to say they're coming out of the tri-border area, where it becomes a big problem is with our open borders, is that Hezbollah terrorists, the Shia terrorists, they're on their third and fourth generation now in that area, the kids. So the kids are dark colored anyway, just because they're Arabs for the most part. They speak Spanish with the dialect of the region, and they give them Spanish names, and then they come over the border. There is no way to be able to tell that these are actual jihadis. So they come in under the radar, through the radar, through the front door, and President Biden is welcoming these unknown people in, the gotaways, that we don't even know about them. But these people fit every profile to come in through the border, and they blend in perfectly. And if you are a jihadi, you're sure as hell going to come up through the border, settle down here in the United States, build your cell, sit and be quiet, do whatever you need to do to stay under the radar, and then when it's time for your cell to go active, you go active. And it's not a matter of if this happens, it's just a matter of when. And I don't know how our law enforcement is going to be able to get a handle on it, because we can't even name who our enemy is.
You know, that's just an excellent point, Al. And that's what people really don't understand. It's not just about the idea that America has been invaded at the southern border. It's who's coming through. And, you know, every day you have known Islamic terrorists who are detained and stopped at the border. But how many of them get through? How many of these Islamic terrorists get through? We don't know. And, you know, we do know that there's a lot of males that their way to United States at the southern border. And the intentional decision by the Biden-Harris-Obama regime to open America's borders and to allow this invasion of 10, right now it's 10 to 12 million, it's probably much more. And the negligence that has allowed these people to get through and breach America's borders is a national security threat. You know, we're talking about terror training camp that's been active in the tri-border region of Paraguay, Argentina, and Brazil. And I think now it's incumbent upon President-elect Milei to really dispatch his military one take force to squash this Islamic terror. Now, it's possible that what will happen is they'll move into Brazil, the Foz do Ignacio, because you have President Lula of Brazil, who is basically a Marxist, despises the United States and adhering to the radical doctrine. I don't know the government of Paraguay, but they have allowed their country to be used as a safe haven for the Islamic terrorists. And if Argentina is serious about squashing and a change, then they need to squash this cancer. You know, you've got the Islamic State of Iran that is funding terrorism, and we saw firsthand the brutality of Islamic terrorism on October 7th that was funded by Iran when they attacked Israel. And 1,400 Jews were killed. There's still 40 children that are being held captive by the foreign terrorist organization Hamas. You know, and all these cries and whines by the left wing, by these politically correct multiculturalists about all the children of Gaza. What about the 40 children that were abducted during the terrorist attack, the Islamic terrorist attack, and now are held captive? Huh? What about the 40 children? Do their lives not matter? Where is the world? Where is the United Nations condemning an Islamic terrorist organization, Hamas? And yet they call for Israel to have a ceasefire when in fact Israel has been attacked each and every day since 1948. And it took October 7th for the world to wake up. Because Israel is not going to take this anymore. And the IDF is not done. They're cleaning house in the northern part of Gaza. And the Islamic terrorist organization Hamas, you've got their leaders fleeing to Qatar. And isn't it ironic, Al, that the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, the OIC, is made up of 57 Islamic states, including the Palestinian territory. But none of the 56 other Islamic states will take any of the Palestinian refugees. Not one. They all have something in common. It's called Allah. They all have something in common. It's called Muhammad. They all have something in common called the Quran. And the Muslim brothers and sisters of, I don't know, Saudi Arabia, of Qatar, of the UAE, of Bahrain, of Egypt, of Jordan, they don't want any Palestinian refugees. Why? Because they understand and know the damage, the cancer of the Gazans. Where are the 56 Islamic states stepping up to help their Muslim brothers and sisters? Oh, Iran throws money at the Palestinians, but why don't they take all the refugees now? They have something in common. Muhammad, Allah, and the Quran. Morocco has something in common, but Morocco knows, as an Islamic country, King Mohammed VI, he understands the cancer of the Gazans. He understands the cancer of Hamas. None of the 57 Islamic states will take their brothers and sisters. The OIC, where are they demanding that the 56 Islamic states accept their Muslim brothers and sisters? They all are part of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Afghanistan, Algeria, Chad, Egypt, Guinea, Indonesia, Iran, Jordan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Libya, Malaysia, Mali, Mauritania, Morocco, Niger, Pakistan. You know what they all have in common with Palestine? They all were the founding members in 1969 of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, along with Yemen, Saudi Arabia, Senegal, Sudan, Somalia, Tunisia, Turkey. And not one of those, their Islamic brothers and sister country, will take any of the Palestinian refugees. Not one. The Jordanians did it, and they're sorry they ever did back in the 60s. Egypt was firing at the Palestinian refugees who were trying to make their way into Egypt after October 7th. What does that tell you and me of the world about the lip service of Islam? Why aren't they taking their Muslim brothers and sisters? Instead, the useless nations, the United Nations, who runs the OIC, would rather condemn Israel for defending herself against Islamic terror than demand that the 56 Islamic states, or just those 25 Islamic states that started the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, take their Palestinian brothers and sisters, including their children, because they have something in common, the Islamic doctrine. They have something in common, Sharia. They have something in common, hatred for Jews. But no, we've got bumbling Biden talking about bringing, a million Palestinians to America? Well, hell, he's opened the door to 10 million illegal aliens from 147 different countries to invade the United States of America. So much so that you have state budgets are swelling, Medicaid budgets are swelling, services are having to be cut in New York City, because the sanctuary city can't afford all the illegal aliens that are coming to their sanctuary city. So why isn't Algeria or Chad or Egypt a sanctuary state for their fellow Muslim brothers and sisters? Why don't we the people, demand of the OIC that the 56 Islamic states like Bahrain, like Oman, Qatar can take 14 of the Hamas leaders who fled and left their people to die in Gaza, because the cowards of Hamas, the leaders who are cowards of Hamas, fled to Qatar. Why doesn't Qatar take 1 million refugees? Palestinian refugees, huh? What about Syria, United Arab Emirates, Sierra Leone, Bangladesh, all the money that UAE has, all the money Saudi Arabia has? Why aren't they taking the Islamic refugees from Gaza? It's more of the same, Al. It's strictly lip service.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Qatar, because Hamas leaders are in Qatar as the war is going on and their people are getting killed. So three Hamas leaders, Ismail Haniyeh, Khalid Mashal, and Masa Abu Marzouk, they have net worths Ismail Haniyeh, $4 billion. Khalid Mashal, $4 billion. And Marzouk, $3 billion. And they are in Qatar living the high life as their fellow countrymen are in the middle of a war with Israel. And Qatar's not even taking the people. Egypt's not taking the people because Hamas is an arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. Al-Sisi hates the Muslim Brotherhood and has shut them down, so he doesn't want the Muslim Brotherhood coming into Egypt. He knows what type of a destructive influence is. Jordan doesn't want these Palestinians because the king of Jordan had to eject Yasser Arafat and the PLO and the Palestinians in 1970 out of his country because Yasser Arafat was involved with a coup trying to take power of the country away from the king of Jordan and take it for himself. So the king of Jordan had to expel all of the Yasser Arafat and the PLO, and he did it so brutally. So many thousands of their fellow Muslims were murdered that it was called Black September, and the name has lived on for infamy since the 1970s. So every country that the Palestinians go into, they create havoc, just like they did in Israel after 1967 when Israel won the Gaza Strip. They won that in the 1967 war. Egypt didn't want it. Israel didn't want it. So they let these Palestinians live in Gaza, and they were trying a grand experiment. Is it, can Israel coexist with its enemies? So they allowed Hamas, took control of Gaza, and since 1967, they've been having a grand experiment to coexist with their enemies, and they're fairly successful at it, I guess. It was bloody, but they accepted a minimal amount of blood on their hands in order for peace. But that experiment failed miserably on October 7th, and now Israel has to recapture land that it had won and given away in 1967. So, yeah, that's why nobody wants these Palestinians anywhere in their country, because they're a cancer. Like you said in your monologue at the beginning of the show, they are a cancer. And their fellow Muslim brothers, their brothers of Allah, don't even want them. They hate them.
You know, I'm looking at, and while you were talking about Black September and Yasser Arafat and the PLO, there was also the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, which also is a designated terrorist organization. So, correct me if I'm wrong, the PLO, didn't it morph into Fatah? Wasn't Yasser Arafat a leader of Fatah?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He was the leader. He was the charismatic leader for decades.
So you have Hamas in 2005 elected with 60%. You have Fatah had over 30%. So like 94% of Palestine, the Palestinians approved of these foreign terrorist organizations to run their country. And then you just said, and correct me if I'm wrong, one of the Hamas leaders, Marouk, is worth $3 billion with a B. Did you say that?
Correct. Yes. Ismail Haniyeh, $4 billion. Khalid Mashal, $4 billion.
Okay, so let me ask you this. How in the world is a Hamas leader worth over $3 billion when, in fact, nothing is produced out of the Gazan territory except for terrorism?
Well, they're Biden-like government officials. They make their living on the government, and they stole that money from the Palestinian people, and that was their take off the top. Just like at the hospitals. and the mosques underneath Shifa Hospital. That's being reported today. You talked about it a little bit earlier, that underneath the Shifa Hospital is a command and control center for Hamas. Spider web of tunnels. They took over the hospital because they knew that Israel wouldn't bomb a hospital. And God forbid if they did, all the dead bodies, they'd be able to take them out and parade them in front of the cameras who would obligingly say their propaganda however they want it reported to the world, and Israel looked like the bad guys. But that's evil. When you put a command and control center underneath a hospital, fire rockets from the hospital grounds, and then use your own people as human shields, there's a reason that that's against the Geneva Convention, because it's a war crime. Conducting offensive war efforts in civilian territory and using the civilians as human shields is a war crime. Hamas is a war crime. And all you have to do is read their charter. They put it in black and white for everybody to read.
So two things here, okay? I want to read another Twitter friend from Judy Ann 451 on Twitter. She sent out a tweet. CNN concedes that Hamas terror tunnels under the hospital are real. Real. So Judy's spot on. The left-wing media has tried to sanitize the foreign terrorist organization Hamas. They've tried to condemn Israel for defending herself. And it turns out that even the USDNC media whores like CNN have to concede and admit that the tunnels are real. And then last Wednesday, from bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, townhall.com, surprise, surprise, guess what was found in yet another Gaza hospital? As Israel Defense Forces continued clearing out Hamas terrorists around Gaza City this week, they made their way to the Al-Shifa Hospital, long believed to be a base of operation for the Iran-backed terrorists, and found exactly what they expected, weapons caches, bastardized hospital equipment, and all the signs of Hamas headquarters hidden within a hospital to use Gaza civilians as human shields. Boom, Al, you hit the nail on the head.
And if you go to the Hamas charter, you just Google it, and you go to the avalon.law.yale.edu, and that's the Hamas charter. The second sentence in the charter says, quote, Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it, just as it obliterated others before it. Article 2 states the Islamic resistance movement is one of the wings of the Muslim Brotherhood in Palestine. Muslim Brotherhood movement is a universal organization which constitutes the largest Islamic movement in modern times. It's characterized by its deep understanding, accurate comprehension, and its complete embrace of all Islamic concepts of all aspects of life, culture, creed, politics, blah, 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 and the spreading of Islam, information science, and occult, and conversion to Islam. So they state clearly that they are an arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, and that's why Egypt doesn't want them.
Well, we got a phone call. And I'm going to bring on the Viking right now. I'm sure he's not very happy. Minnesota Vikings kind of blew it last night with about a minute left. But hey, Holger, how you doing?
It was a bitter loss. It's one of those games you should have won. So it's it's bad, but oh well. It's not easy being a Viking fan.
What's happening?
I wanted to just quick call in because I think everybody always appreciates when you guys share the truth about Israel, truth about the so-called Palestinians. You know, what the world believes is an absolute crime. When you look at the lies that have been perpetuated about these so-called people. It's absolute. I don't think there's been a bigger lie told in the history of the world than where these people came from and all that kind of good stuff. But you know, if somebody's ever, you know, when Al was talking about, you know, why they were thrown out of Jordan. I mean, think about that. Okay, Yasser Arafat tried to overthrow the government of Lebanon. Okay, now most countries would probably throw those people out, right? if not just murder them all. You know, the same thing happened. They got thrown out of Syria. They got thrown out of Egypt, as you guys mentioned, and so forth. And if anybody's listened to your guys' show for years, you've heard a number of times when Gadi Adelman was you know, calling in more often, Gadi explained, you know, the truth of what happened in 1948 when Israel was granted a state by the United Nations, and Gadi shared the truth that the Arabs all conspired, of course, immediately to destroy Israel. You know, like the next day. I mean, Israel was made a country, and the next day they're at war with, you know, like eight neighbors trying to destroy them. Well, the word had leaked to these Jordanians, these trans-Jordanians inside of Israel, and so they all left. They said, okay, we're not going to be here because this place is going to get, like, bombed completely. These people are all going to be dead, so we're leaving. They didn't get thrown out. They left Israel, and unfortunately for them, Israel won the war, okay? And so now they left, so now they're like, now where do we go? So the thing I wanted to add to this mix is this. At that point in time, a whole bunch of these so-called Palestinians left the area and went to Lebanon, okay? And at some point in time, the United Nations helped set up refugee camps in Lebanon. Lebanon was, like, not too thrilled. So the United Nations stepped in and said, okay, well, we'll help you out, Lebanon. And they established 12 refugee camps in Lebanon. Okay, so we're talking, what's that, 1950 to 2023. That's like 75 years ago, right?
Right.
They're still in the 12 refugee camps.
In Lebanon, by the way.
In Lebanon. They're still there. There's a reason why they are still there, is because the Lebanese people and the Lebanese government won't let them out. They won't let them into their society because they don't want them to pull the same shit they pulled in Jordan and Syria and in Egypt. So,
spot on.
I mean, if you don't believe me, people, just go to Google and Google search Palestinian refugee camps in Lebanon, and you'll see that they're still in 12 of them. After 75 years, the Lebanese still don't trust those people to let them into their society.
Which also answers why none of the 56 Islamic states under the Organization of Islamic Cooperation will accept one Palestinian refugee today. You want to call them refugees, but one Gazan today. Not even the 25 original founders of the OIC, the 24 of those states, will not take any of the Gazan refugees today, which they all have something in common. Allah is their God, Muhammad is their prophet, and the Quran is their constitution.
Yep.
What does that tell you? You just laid it out.
I mean, it explains everything, Vito, and it also explains why... the bottom line is the whole so-called Palestinian issue is just, it's just a tool in the Islamic toolbox to use against Israel.
And they
absolutely despise the people. You just mentioned it. There isn't a single Arab Muslim country in this world that's offered to take these, whatever there are, 3 million, 4 million people in. And, you know, believe me, there's a lot of countries with lots of space. You know, Sudan's got lots of room for them. Hundreds of thousands of acres, nobody there. They will put them up in there, but they won't do it. But they'll use them when it comes to propagating a conspiracy to destroy Israel. Then they're useful idiots.
Yes.
To these people.
Good point.
But I sit here and I listen to these politicians in America, these woke pieces of shit, you know, get up and talk about, oh, the Palestinian people, they're not Hamas, blah, 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 blah. Well, what were they in Lebanon? What were they in Jordan? What were they in Syria? You know, there's... You know what? Two million of these little angels, and you know 20,000 Hamas bad guys. Oh, you know it just. How stupid do they think we are? But bottom line is, if you polled the American people, 80% of the American people would tell you that Israel threw these people out when their state got created. Israel just banished these people from Israel. And then they put them over here, and then they occupied their territory and all this. It's absolutely ridiculous that the truth has been overlooked, has been propagandized for so many years. And bottom line is, the Arab nations, all they do is just propagate the lie, but they never ever do anything to really aid these so-called Palestinians. They've never done anything. I think at one point in time I had shared with you, I think, that America and some other countries had contributed like $100 million to the people of Gaza, and at the same time, all Arab nations combined had contributed $4 million. I mean, Qatar's got $4 million in the couch cushions.
Right.
So anyway, that's all I got for tonight.
All right, Hozier, we're gonna bring on.
That's a good one, because the Muslims don't even like their own.
Well, you know, the other thing is. You know, Hezbollah is in Lebanon. They haven't exactly broke them out of those refugee camps, have they?
They're used to
the guys in Hezbollah are going like, well, they're Sunnis. Keep them in there.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Catch you later.
All right.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Holder.
Yep. You too, guys. See you later.
Happy
Bye-bye.
Thanksgiving is right. To piggyback off of what Holger said, we've got the Alaskan Boyd who is on the line right now. And Boyd has posted a great post in the chat room. And Boyd, how you doing? Nice to see you.
Hey.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I'm doing all right.
Welcome.
How are you doing, you little white bald chaser?
I'm doing good, and that's doing golf, just clear the air right there, okay? Nothing's any wrong with that.
Hey, listen, I came across the good article, and this is going to tie in right with what Holger said. However, what Holger said was that the Israelis kicked him out. The Israelis never kicked them out.
No, he said
the Palestinians,
Israelis were Jews.
The Transjordanians. They were never.
No, Holger said that they were accused of kicking them out. He said the Israelis have been accused of kicking them out, He didn't say they kicked him out, but go ahead.
Yes. But this article that I posted in here, and I think I got most of it because I couldn't put it all in there. I've got it up on my Facebook page. But the Palestinians, or the Transjordanians, as they were called at the time, were ordered out of that area by the Arab nations surrounding Israel. They were ordered out because they were going to go in and have a war. And as you'll see in that article, you know, from 48 and on, that the Palestinians were ordered out, and that the Arab nations around Israel said, as soon as we're done kicking the Jews out of here, you can come home. And,
well,
of course,
it didn't quite work out like they planned, did it?
No. And why the Jordanians don't take their Transjordanian neighbors and brothers in, I can see why now, but, you know, it is very interesting that none of the Arab or Muslim countries in this world will accept them to come in. And
well, that's because
for that
these
matter,
Jordanians, these Jordanians transitioned into Palestinians in 1967.
Yeah.
Not a transitioning as we know it today, but they did transition from Jordanians into Palestinians. But they kept their gender intact, so they got one out of two.
You know,
anyway.
Being ordered out of their homeland by their Arab neighbors, losing that war, and then the Arab neighbors not taking them in and giving them a place to stay, I can kind of see why the Palestinians have the attitude that they have. But, you know, that's no excuse for what they were doing. I mean, the Israelis didn't accept them back in, but the Israelis didn't kick them out, and they had no plans on kicking them out to begin with. You know, they were well intentioned of living with their neighbors in their country, you know. So, the article that I put in there is quite an eye-opener, because I knew that the Israelis never kicked them out, but I didn't know that they were ordered out by their Arab neighbors.
Yeah,
interesting.
Go ahead, Al.
Oh, you bring up a great point, and I was going to get to it later, but in the Declaration of the Establishment of the State of Israel in 1948, they said, this is the Israelis, this is their charter, their document. We extend our hand to all neighboring states and their peoples in an offer of peace and good neighborliness, and appeal to them to establish bonds of cooperation and mutual help with the sovereign Jewish people settled in its own land. The State of Israel is prepared to do its share in a common effort for the advancement of the entire Middle East. So in 1948, they reached out to the Arab world and were met with possible annihilation. The Muslim Brotherhood, the second sentence in their charter, states that Islam will exist until it destroys Israel as it has done others before it. That's the difference between the two.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Yeah. And, you know, somebody picked the wrong side to be on, I guess. because when the Jews said after World War II, never again, I believe that they meant it.
Well, where else are they going to go?
Nowhere.
If Israel lost that 48 war, there would be no Israel. The Jews would have been wiped out. If they lost the 67 war, Jews would cease to exist in that area. 73 war, which Israel almost did lose, Israel would have been wiped off the face of the earth.
Yep.
That'll give you motivation to fight.
Here's the other little small interesting fact. You know, the Jews have never, ever been absent from that strip of land. Never.
Correct.
There has always been a Jewish population in that strip of land, no matter who was in control of it.
That is correct.
In fact,
Wait, 1,700 years before Islam was created, there were 12 tribes of Israel that occupied that land. There were no traces of Arabs or anything that was called Palestine at that time. 1,700 years before Islam was created in 623 AD, there were 12 different tribes of Israel. Go ahead, Al.
No, I was just going to say the same thing. In 17th century, before the Common Era, the Jewish people settled in what is now Israel, and then they were kicked out by the Romans in 63 before Christ was born. Then the Byzantines came in at 313, and they were kicked out by the Arabs, and the Arabs had it till 1099. Then the Christians and the Crusaders came in and kicked out the Arabs, and they had it till 1291, and then the Ottoman Empire came in, and they held it until 1917, and then the British held that same area from 1917 to 1948, and then the State of Israel, of course, has now controlled that area from 1948 on. And that is the world history in 15 seconds. So, and nowhere in that, there's no Palestinian anywhere in that timeline. They never existed.
Palestine was, if I remember correctly, Palestine kind of, that area was given the name of Palestine by the Romans, I believe, just to designate it as a area, nothing more.
Right.
But when they were talking about an when they would talk about an area, they just happened to, I don't know why they chose the word Palestine or whatever, but Palestine does not exist or never has existed as a nation or anything. It was just designated a name as a area, you know?
Right. Yeah, because Palestine is not Arab or Middle Eastern in origin. And the word dates back 1,900 years, and it's derived from a people not native to the region, the Greek Philistines. They disappeared 1,600 years before Christ was born, and they lived in what is now the Gaza Strip and Israel. So the Romans came in, and they used that term because they didn't like the Jews, so they wanted the Jews kicked out. So they threw the name Palestine in that area because to take Judea away from the Jews. So it was the Romans burned the Jews by calling it Palestine instead of Judea. So the Palestinians were named after a Greek people who disappeared 600 years before Christ was born. But
yet they've never left the land.
Lies. Lies, damn lies. People believe it.
Well, Boyd, I give you a minute to finish that, to summarize up. We're running out of time. So, what's your last comments? Your parting comments?
The Muslims claim that as their own territory, But what really interesting is, like, the Muslims still claim Spain as their territory, that it's their land. Spain.
Andalusia.
I mean, they conquered Spain once, and they got their asses whooped and got kicked out of there, but yet they still claim the land as theirs.
That's correct. King Frederick III, I believe it was, in 1235 A.D., reconquered Andalusia, which was actually a Christian holy site that Islam conquered in 935 A.D. and then proclaimed it was an Islamic state, and it was the Vatican along with Frederick III. Or Frederick I that had reconquered that land and gave it back rightly to Christianity, which was one of the holiest sites in Christendom back, you know, in that time period.
Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting how they could come in and claim something when it's not theirs and then forever claim it as theirs. Anyway. That's kind of like all I got. I just was I had posted my article in here before Holger came on, and then Holger went into it, and it was like, wow, you know, how could that be? How could Holger know what I'm thinking?
Great minds think alike.
That's right. That's right.
Anyway,
I'll
get my mindless mouth out of here.
Well, thanks for the call.
No, great,
and thanks
points
for posting the article, and appreciate it. You take care. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and be safe out there.
Yep, and back to you guys too.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That's our own Alaskan.
Have a great week.
Great call. And in the chat room, he posted an article that was written by a Scott Stewart, who graduated from the United States Naval Academy in 1971. The Palestinian Nakba is a hoax, and here is the proof. And check it out. It was written by a Scott Stewart, so great post. One other point, Al, that I'd like to bring up, and I had this discussion over the weekend with some people, and, you know, the issue of Islam and what is the motivation? And the motivation really is quite simple. It's called the Quran, which is the word of Allah. And the Quran makes it very clear. Under chapter 9, verse 5. Chapter 9, verse 5 of the Quran abrogates 124 verses of the Quran. So when the forbidden months are past, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them, and take them as captives, and besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. So if they repent and perform the prayer and give legal alms, so they're way free. Surely Allah is forgiving and merciful, but kill them wherever you find them. Chapter 9, verse 123. You have believed, engage in war against the infidels who are near to you, and let them find you harshness, and know that Allah is with the fearer. Now, I'm not sure why it's become difficult to understand what Islam's tactics are. There is no peace. Islam does not mean peace. It does not mean submission. Jihad does not mean inner struggle. It means to war against non-Muslims. And it's exactly what was done on October 7th. It's exactly what's been done since 1948 against the Jews in Israel. Chapter 4, verse 71. You have believed. Take your precautions. So go to war in separate groups or go to war altogether. The Palestinians go to war in separate groups. We read it on a daily basis, and we've read it. You know, they blow up buses in Israel. They kill IDF soldiers. They stab individuals. Or they go to war altogether, as what happened on October 7th, funded by Iran, who despises the Jew. Chapter 4, verse 84. So engage in war for the sake of Allah. Lay not burdens on any but yourself and provoke the believers. Well, one could say that the Quran provokes the believers, but how about Iran provoking the believers, the Palestinians, Hamas, Fatah? So engage in war for the sake of Allah. There is a reason why there is war against the West. Islamic war against the West. Why? Asian war for the sake of Allah. Chapter 4, verse 84. This is not just cherry picking. This is what Islam lives by. This is what the fundamental Islamists, like those of Hamas, Fatah, Iran, Hezbollah, Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram, you notice no Arab nation has come out in condemning their fellow brothers and sisters when it comes to the war that they're engaged in. Why? Because they're engaging war for the sake of Allah. What is the motivation? The motivation is Allah. Allah is their God. Muhammad is their prophet. And Islam is their life. The Quran is their constitution. You know, I hear, and you hear on TV, and obviously the ignorance of the U.S. media is quite clear. Their mission is to sanitize what Hamas has done. Hamas is a foreign terrorist organization. United States government also says so. Okay, go to the foreign terrorist organization, the list designated by the United States government. And you'll read that on October the 8th, 1997, Hamas was designated a terrorist organization. October 8th, 1999, Al-Qaeda is designated a terrorist organization. October 8th, 1997, Hezbollah is a terrorist organization. October 8th, 1997, Palestine Islamic Jihad, PIJ, the Popular Front of Liberation of Palestine, October 8th, 1997, designated a terrorist organization. How can sitting members of Congress actively campaign, actively approve of a designated foreign terrorist organization? And why is it that once you read the Quran, you then understand what the motivation, what the catalyst for war is? Al?
Well, one thing they all agree on, they hate the Jews. They hate the
yes.
Christians. Oh, and they hate the Zoroastrians. They hate the atheists. They hate the Hindus.
Gays.
Oh, well, they hate gays. Yeah, they hate the gays. They hate everybody that's not a Muslim. You know what's even funny about it is they say that Adam and Eve were the first Muslims, and that when you become a Muslim, if you convert, they actually call it reverting, because they believe, the Quran teaches, that every human on planet Earth is born a Muslim, and then if they're not Muslim and they become Muslim, then they revert back to their original state of at birth. Explain
and why,
that one.
Well, under Islamic law, a female Muslim cannot marry outside of Islam, yet a male Muslim can marry any denomination outside of Islam. And why is that? Because Islam follows the father. It does not follow the mother.
Yeah. And Muhammad said you can have four wives, but these poor Muslim women can't have four husbands.
No.
It's a man's world.
Well, folks, thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Holzer and Alaskan Boyd for the phone call today. We at Global Patriot Radio, Al and I both want to wish you all a safe and happy Thanksgiving. Be aware of your surroundings, certainly, but enjoy and give thanks to you and your families for a blessed and thankful Thanksgiving. Wednesday, Hank Jones and Poly Sports will be on at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday, Osama Dakdak and the Beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And Monday, Al and I will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio to check out, and I urge you to check out, is Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio. She's in the house right now. Her and her great sidekick, author Curtis Bennett. Check out Annie on Fridays on Blog Talk Radio from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. She's got some great show, great guests every week. Annie does a fantastic job. Thank you, Annie. If you want an apolitical show and you want a break from politics and Islam, check out the Simone Nicole Show Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. on Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com. Joshua has a great program, a great self-help show. Bigfoot's there. James is there. Dogs is there. Golf Dogs and several others. And I'll tell you, Joshua does a fantastic job. Great, great self-help show. Thursday evenings, check out Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to AudreyRusso.com. Audrey generally has three guests. Great show. I'm not sure. I don't think her show is going to be live on Thursday, which is Thanksgiving. But go to her website, AudreyRusso.com, and they'll let you know. Joe Gibson, Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Restoring Our Republic. Joe is also running for, I believe, a state house in North Carolina. So check out Joe Gibson, Restoring Our Republic. And also check out RZ's show on Spreaker.com. I believe it's on 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker, Saturday evenings. Check out our show. I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Excellent blog spot. Thank you, Big, for all you do. The Alaskan Boyd, thank you for the call. Boyd, Ducky, Northwest, nice to see you, Ducky. Always a pleasure. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio. Check out Annie's show Friday afternoons on Blog Talk Radio, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I believe, Golf Dogs was in the house earlier, so nice to see Dogs. And, of course, Sue from New Mexico, always a pleasure to see Sue from New Mexico. And all you in podcast land, thank you all for joining us today. Happy Thanksgiving, folks. Be safe out there. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos, and a happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Thank you, Al. You as well. You be safe out there. We'll see you guys next Monday. Frankie's going to take us out. Ciao for now, folks.
Yes, it was my way.
Bang.
Right on the numbers.
Right on the numbers. Woof. Woof. Good calls by Holzer and Boyd. Very nice.
I tell you, we got some smart listeners.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. They understand this whole thing, and what's a shame of it is that we don't have a media that reports accurately. The majority of the media, you have a few that do, like Newsmax, and are not afraid to mm-hmm. talk about it. And you know, the sanitizing and the support that they show for that the U.S. DNC media shows for Hamas, the Palestinians, is just unconscionable. What we're seeing today, just an absolute, it's a damn shame.
Well, they're getting away with murder. And then what, the Israelis are letting all these Palestinian supporters. They're giving them free passage to southern Gaza. And then what?
Right.
What
yeah.
happens to them? I mean, what is the day after? Once this is over and Israel's prosecuting this war perfectly, what does the day after look like? I don't know. Hopefully they'll stay and rebuild that area and turn it into a another tropical paradise along the head.
Well, I would say that the three Hamas leaders have done quite well for themselves. Two have a $4 billion net worth, and Marzouk has a $3 billion net worth. So tell me, where has all this money come from? Is this just good investing on the part of Marzouk and the other two Palestinian terrorists of Hamas? And then, you know, all the cries and whines from the left wing in America, it's just like with Joe Biden. And I don't mean to equate Joe Biden to the Palestinians, but you nailed it with the corruption and the graft and the skimming and the profiteering. At what point does the United Nations, the useless nations, at what point does the world, you know, express outrage that at the expense of the Palestinian people, you have three key leaders of Hamas, which are Palestinians, okay, profited handsomely at the expense of the Palestinian people? We're not talking about maybe, you know, from great investments. We're talking about profiting handsomely at the expense of the Palestinian people who have been living in squalor, right? That's what we're told, right? You know, they've been so oppressed by the Israeli government. That's an absolute falsehood.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. 100% right.
Marzouk is valued at $3 billion. That was also about the same amount that Yasser Arafat was said to be when Mrs. Arafat was shopping at high-end boutiques in France. She was getting something like $300,000 or $3 million a month. $3 million a month. And you're telling me that the people of Gaza live in squalor? They say they have no running water and the conditions there are dire. They don't celebrate Christmas according to Christine Amanpour. Christy. Muslims don't believe in Christmas, right? They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They believe he's a mere prophet behind their perfect man, Muhammad. And it said so in the Quran in three different chapters. So at what point does the world express outrage that Marzouk and the two other Hamas leaders have profited handsomely at the expense of the Palestinian people? Where's the outrage?
Well, I don't know. Where's the outrage from MSNBC? They should be furious.
Exactly.
Taking money out of the people's hands like that to enrich themselves, but somehow the Israelis are the bad people.
Yeah, yeah.
I think just people hate the Jews. That's all there is to it. I mean, you see what's happening to these Jewish kids on campuses getting attacked. People tearing down these posters. It's kind of scary to be Jewish these days on some of these campuses.
You're talking about defense attorneys going on the street and tearing down posters, you know, kidnapped Jews to be returned, and they're tearing down the posters.
Yeah, and then all these assholes calling for a ceasefire. They just don't understand that's actually called a hudna, which would give the Hamas time to regroup and rearm, and that's all that a hudna is. And the whole world is pressuring Israel to have a ceasefire. At least Israel is not listening and continuing on prosecuting this war to get them the hell out. I just hope that they don't cave into the pressure. And then I hope after this is over that they stay right there in the strip, take it for their own.
Well, you know, Al, I believe...
That's what I want for Christmas.
I have, you know, I'm just going to say it where, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu has been screwed royally by Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama. And we reported on it several times with regards to, you know, Barack Obama sending over his, in 2013, sending over his campaign team to defeat, okay, to meddle in the Israeli elections, okay, and trying to defeat Benjamin Netanyahu. Netanyahu doesn't forget that. But one thing about Benjamin Netanyahu, he's a devout Jew. And, you know, he's been through war himself. And at this point, it doesn't matter what Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama says, or excuse me, it doesn't matter what Joe Biden says at this point. The fact is that Israel was attacked. 1,400 Israelis are dead, and the world sits idly by and blames the Jews for everything. I'm surprised they haven't blamed them for the Alamo. And I think Netanyahu's had enough. You know what? You're not a Jew. You don't understand it. You know, you're sympathizing with terrorists. Rashida Mother Effer Tlaib has done so. So has Ilhan Omar in the United States Congress. And Joe Biden talks out of all four sides of his mouth. And I think Netanyahu, you know, God bless him, I think he's had enough. And, you know, I just don't – he knows he's on an island by himself, but he knows that the Jews are on an island by themselves. Excuse me. He knows the Jews are on an island by themselves. And it's just a matter of time before, you know, he just – he goes about and does what they should have done in 1967 and in 1973, and he's doing it right now. Because this shit ain't going to stop with Hamas and Iran.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I could be looking at it from a different perspective. You've been there. You understand. You know, you know what's going on. You know the sentiment. But, I mean, I talk to my Israeli friends, and I just think that there's a different Benjamin Netanyahu right now.
Well, I hope so, because they screwed up royally.
Yeah, they did. Yep.
October 17th is a huge, huge failure. I mean, we were just there in May, and everybody we talked to, oh, the fence has every type of electronic, secure. We know if a field mouse gets near the fence, we'll know about it. And that we can have a team, we can have a crack team anywhere on the fence line for all the miles within 5 minutes if there's a problem. That's what we heard. So where the hell were they when they blew up 30 holes in the fence?
Well, and look at the damage that was done in 5 minutes by the. You know, by Hamas, by the Palestinians in 5 minutes. Look what they did. I mean, just wow. And you know what the sad part of it is? The very people who supported Hamas, the very people who feed Hamas, the very people who feed the Palestinians, they were the first ones that were executed.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't understand. Yeah, the irony, right?
Yeah, that concert over by the border, that was a Peace Fest concert supporting Hamas. But nobody said, I haven't heard that anywhere. These are all liberal kids that were there, and they're the first ones that got whacked.
Yeah, what?
I wonder if they're still liberal now. I don't know.
Well, they've been given guns, and they accepted the guns, didn't they?
Yeah.
My friend say? I was talking to a friend from Tel Aviv, and he said, the kibbutz are leftists, and they're extreme leftists. They supply food, and they support the Palestinians. and they were the first ones to be executed by the Palestinians.
Yeah. God. And brutally. I mean, they were...
And, yeah.
It was horrible what happened. And you even talked about it last week. There was one kibbutz that kept their guns, and they had an effective security force, and they're one of the kibbutzes that survived and took out 20 of the Hamas terrorists and lived.
And lived.
The other day.
Hmm. God almighty. Just absolutely, it's disgraceful. Oh, my God. You know, enough support of this of Hamas and the Palestinians. I mean, they voted for this government. They are the government. They are Palestine. They are Hamas. And people have to understand that.
Yep. So I hope Bibi just keeps fighting until it's
yep.
over, and then keeps the land. They won it in 67, just repatriating it. And then
That's
they need
correct.
To do the same thing in the West Bank. They said they're going to do the same thing in the West Bank. They need to clear all that out, too.
Yeah, I would think if I'm Abu Abbas, I'm probably looking for a oceanfront property in Qatar.
Yeah. Hey, Marzouk, you got the room for one more? Who is this? Oh, this is Abu Mazen. Oh, you're a piece of shit. No, you stay right where you are.
No, you have no room. Cut this closed.
Hey, Ishmael, this is, you got the room for one more? Fuck you.
Wrong number. Well, listen, hey, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And
yes.
Maybe hopefully I'll talk to you this week before Thanksgiving. But if I don't, man, you guys be safe out there, and we'll talk again later in the week, okay?
All right, sounds good. Have a great week and a happy
Thank
turkey
you.
Day.
Happy Thanksgiving, Sue. Happy Thanksgiving, Boyd. Thank you, guys. Thank
yes,
you,
sir.
Boyd, for calling in, and please be safe out there, both of you and your families. So, thank you all in podcast land. We appreciate your support of Global Patriot Radio, and you all be safe out there. Goodbye, folks.
All right. Adios.
Ciao for now.